There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Caterpillar and 3M put the brakes on expectations for growth, while chip makers led a parallel slide in tech stocks. As a result, the Dow fell to its lowest number since July, while the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ retreated to levels not seen since May. If the NASDAQ closes more than 10% below its closing high from August, that would confirm a correction.
That bad, and it usually starts with a ripple on a Tuesday, though, right? And washes up on a Friday. 1207 FM Talk, 106.5 Midday Mobile, live local talk. Hold on to your wallets, folks, right? We'll look at this and talk about it a little bit more. Also, a good chance to talk to our buddies at Mobile Bay Coins. If you're looking at a hedge of a different type from equities, we'll talk about some precious metals. Also, Stephen McNair running for office. He's going to join us in the second half of this hour. So lots to do on Midday Mobile. Of course, you can get in touch with the show pretty easily. Text line 343-0106. Same digits work for a phone call, 343-0106. Also, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Website, FMTalk1065.com. Find me directly over on Twitter at FMTalk1065. So there you go. Stocks falling sharply on Wall Street, sending the Dow down 400 points and extending the market's recent string of losses. The latest wave of selling came as investors grew unsettled by slowing economic growth in China. Well, we could probably have some reasons for that. How about the trade war, right? And the cost of the aggressive trade policies the U.S. is putting on China. We knew this was coming, right? Let's look at some of the bigger losers here. This is one that I would say, just looking at this market, look at what's happening today with the drops. There are a handful of different stories that could lead you to make different assumptions. All of those may be incorrect. Caterpillar has dug themselves a hole today. 3M is stuck to their losses. How you like that? Give me a job at Fox Business, huh? Cat and 3M, by the way, those two companies have contributed 150 points of what we're sitting at now. I think the Dow is it's down 300 right now. It's down as much as 548 earlier, but down around 300 right now. And so 150 of those points, courtesy of Caterpillar and 3M. And then you can look around. Let me talk about, and then Verizon is up. McDonald's is up. They're doing good today. JP Morgan's numbers are down today, even though they released earnings that were up. And so I continue, like I think a lot of Americans, to scratch my head and try to figure out what's going on on Wall Street, right? Punishing start for the stocks today. And the question is this, you had Quinn Hillier on this morning saying this, he thought it was a start of something bigger. That this would be the size of a global disruption in the markets? Could it be a recession coming? There's others saying that, nah, this is nothing but a little correction here, a little correction in the market. And you know what? We have had volatility in this market, at least maybe before, but since January. How many times have you watched, looked at the closings on the day, or looked at how your individual stocks or your funds are doing, and watched that up and down and up and down? And, I've continue to be confused on days. I think the market should trend down, it goes up. Days, I think it should go up, it trends down. But Wall Street has been struggling, and this update here from MarketWatch says what's driving the market says Wall Street has been struggling with signs that weakness in the second largest economy in the globe could fuel disruptions in the rest of the global market. Major indices in Asia fell, sent other markets lower after a second day of remarks from Chinese officials failed to buttress their troubled equity indexes. So this is one thing. I mean, would we be better to be as divested as possible? I mean, if it is the trade policies between the U.S. and China that are causing this, and then you hear that Chinese officials failed to buttress their troubled equity indices, wouldn't we be better to try to rip the Band-Aid off and quickly and not have a lot to do with that? But unfortunately, second largest economy in the world pulls everybody down. Shanghai Composite Index down 2.26%. This is what they're looking at. Of course, Wall Street, they're all trying to decide which way they're going to go with this. But there are some stocks on the trend up, but there's some big ones. I mean, 3M and Caterpillar, we're talking some very big ones. Waters Corporation down. Harley Davidson down. You could say that's because what the president had said before. I don't know. Lockheed Martin down a little bit here. But what about this? I mean, there are people that are hoping maybe on a political front that things are bad, so they can use it as a bludgeon against the president. But I would, bludgeon the president with his own words. And so many times, Donald Trump has talked about his part in the surging economy. Now, Donald Trump's lived up to a lot of promises he made for business out there, and you can see things moving. You can see the Republicans' tax plan moving people back to work. But is it at what cost? And is it, as Quinn talked about this morning, has it undermined? In other words, is there there's no other mechanism with this deficit spending that eventually we are going to run out of money? That is a question that people have been asking for a long time. I've been asking for decades. And every time I think I see that coming, well, they figure out some other kind of system to keep propping up the market. So are we there today? Are we just in a little correction? So what do you think? We'll talk about that coming up some on today's show. We'll also, when we come back, talk to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. If you think you're going to diversify, if you've been on the fence and maybe something like this is giving you a reason you want to diversify, then maybe it is precious metals. And he's going to talk about that. All right? So pretty funny. James, pretty funny. Once the cats meow, Caterpillar's predictions do not look perfect. It's good. That's good. Sticky situation as 3M's post its earnings. See, I was kind of there. So, James, you and I are going to go together. We'll write headlines for Fox Business. How about that? We'll work on that. All right. We'll take your text as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. Maybe Wall Street can win Powerball. Maybe that's what they need. Mega Millions or whatever the big one is. Mega Millions. As I'm sure the traffic is flowing steadily from Alabama into Florida. Now, Mac McCutcheon, Speaker of the House here in Alabama, says they will talk about the lottery for Alabama in 2019 session. So this coming session, they will talk about the lottery. Is that the big fix for our state? Now we're going to do a lottery. Everybody else, even Mississippi, that had all other gaming, which I don't know why it took them that long to do lottery. I mean, if you could do everything else, might as well go lotto with it while you can. Alabama would get in on the mix, but not now. Right now, we don't have it, so people are going to Florida, at least from our area. A lot of people going to Florida for their Mega Millions ticket. A $1.6 billion payoff for that. And what's the little one? Is that the, there's, because they're the big Mega Millions, $1.6 billion. And then there's the other one. What is the other? It's the lower one. What is that one? And see, it shows you how good I am on lotto stuff. What, there's Mega Millions, and then there's like, is it Powerball? Powerball is less than Mega Millions. Powerball is like 900-something million, right? Or something like that, some kind of chump change.
It might be there soon. The last I checked, I think it was around $400 billion before the that's right. $400 billion would be huge. But yeah, $400 million before the last drawing on Saturday.
Okay, that's right, because the two combined could take you to the neighborhood of $2 billion.
Right. And
if you parlay them.
Everyone is saying $1.6 billion for Mega Millions. I think it'll be around $2 billion by the time they do the drawing tonight.
That might be. I mean, for $2 billion, it's probably worth it, I guess.
Maybe. I'm going to wait till it hits three.
Yeah, let's make it worth it. So, yeah, everybody's buying those tickets, and maybe that's what they need to do on Wall Street as well. We'll see. Hey, we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And we'll talk some precious metals with Angelo. You're thinking about taking your lottery winnings and buying gold. gold, gold. He'll help us with that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And do I dare hit refresh here over at marketwatch.com? Probably not. Probably best just let's sit there for a second. Hey, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And I mentioned my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. So whether you're looking for somewhere to stash your winnings after winning the Mega Millions or the Powerball, or you're doing something maybe a little more logical, like thinking about diversifying investments, looking at the equities market today. Now, of course, by the end of the week, it could be different. But if you want to talk about diversification, the people I go to, the people I talk to, is Ron, Angelo, Nancy, the whole gang at Mobile Bay Coins. I'm glad Angelo's hopped on the line with us now. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
Going good. Can you walk somebody through this, like what the idea, but people say, it's a good hedge. What does that mean?
Well, when you're looking at money and you're looking at the your paychecks, things like that, a lot of times we don't really think about the fact that it's not a real valued commodity. You're getting a piece of paper or you're getting that check and it's being digitally filed somewhere. It's not like you have a tangible asset in your hand. 100 years ago, if somebody paid you, you got paid in paper money that could be redeemed for gold or silver coins. So you had a hard asset, a tangible asset at that point. And so a lot of people get a little nervous, a little worried about things going on globally, and they want to have some tangible assets. And one of the best things to purchase as far as value, storage, recognition is gold and silver bullion. So you buy something like that, it's a hard, tangible asset that always has a known value, and you can put that away, whether you're putting it in your safety deposit box, you're burying it in your backyard, which we don't recommend, but you'd be surprised.
Well, I mean, you look at the idea here. It's a hedge, meaning it's part of a broader portfolio, right? I mean, it's the idea here is to use it to limit losses or increase gains.
Correct. Right now, the U.S. market is doing quite well, as we've all looked at. But man, everything's going great. Stock market, has been doing decent. I know it's had some bumps.
It's falling apart today. It's falling. Yeah. The wheels have done come off that rig today. But yeah,
exactly. But when you're investing in things like that, you also invest in commodities. That sort of offsets those, because when one drops, the other one tends to gain. And at the same time, if you're looking at a nation's currency, if all of a sudden that gains or loses in value, the reverse is happening to the metals market. So the United States dollar gets really strong, gold and silver prices get lower, so that's a good time to invest in those, put some money into those. All of a sudden, the U.S. dollar is destabilized and people are pulling out of dollars, they're going to be, gold and silver prices are going to shoot up at that point. And that's that sort of balancing act, that if you have everything in gold and silver or everything in U.S. dollars or everything in the stock market, something bad happens, you have nothing to offset that.
Right, and I'm looking at that today. You've been talking about how there are plenty of bargains there as you looked at gold and silver. And I want you to break down the two precious metals in just a second. But looking at them going up today, so I guess is it absolutely corollary as a seesaw as the markets get in trouble, or as the dollar is devalued, does it incrementally, as far down as the dollar go, does it push gold up, or is there some margin in there in between?
There's a little bit of a bump and a little bit of a margin sometimes, and sometimes you think the market's going to do something and it doesn't quite do what you expect. So there's no hard and fast written in stone rule about some of these things, even though, like we've seen and we've observed over years, generally speaking, when there's a bump in one market, then people say, shoot, I've got to get my money out of that and invest in something else. Well, what do they turn to? They usually turn to gold and silver.
Okay, now let's break it down. You say gold and silver. It's almost like people say it as one term, right? Gold and silver, precious metals. But the price points are very different on those.
Well, significantly so. Right now I'm looking at the markets on my phone, thanks to all these cool smart apps and things we have nowadays. And the ratio of gold to silver right now is 83 to 1. So in other words, if you had 83 ounces of silver, that is equal in value to 1 ounce of gold. Gold's trading at around 1233. Silver is trading right now at about 1477. And that ratio, 83.4, you know, to one, basically, is about the most extreme ratio I can remember seeing in a long, long time. That tends to tell me that if you've got the room to store it, silver would probably be the best bang for your buck right now, because that ratio is completely out of whack. 100, 150 years ago, that ratio was 20 to 1. It's gone up four times from that.
Okay, what does that? I mean, is that driven by industrial applications for gold or silver or lack thereof, or is it just that gold has, you know, gold is fancier? I mean, I know that's a simpleton way to look at it, but I mean...
Well, no, and those are all good questions. And something I was reading earlier today, which was very interesting, is the World Gold Council put out their recent report just a couple days ago, and they're saying that right now China has about $2 trillion in gold assets in their country.
I mean, physical gold. And so physical, think about, you know, physical gold.
$1 trillion in gold. And they also say that because of the way the economy is booming over in China, they really expect the jewelry market in China to go crazy. And Asian cultures have always tended to look more towards gold for jewelry than silver. So that is part of what's been driving the demand for gold so high and so strong and keeping that price up.
Okay, so there's a jewelry market. There's silver is also used for jewelry. Is silver use pick up when the economy is churning? I mean, is it used in enough industrial applications, or is it a different kind of silver they use in that?
Well, interestingly enough, silver is actually a better conductor of electricity than mm-hmm. gold is, but silver does tend to tarnish. And what that means to us for lay people, let's not get all technical here, all your smart devices have silver in them because they don't get as hot.
Okay.
So, you know, the conductivity means heat, your devices get hot and they break down, they don't work. That's a bad thing. So all of these smart devices we're talking about, whether it's your smartphone, your tablet, you know, even your computer, they have silver in them, and a lot of that silver, it's very difficult to get that back out at the end of the process. So silver is being used a lot in industry, not just in the jewelry side of things. So I think that's where a lot of things are going to start to change as more and more people get into that. Speaking of China again, as that market starts to embrace the smartphones and the tablets and everything, that's going to be a huge demand for silver being consumed.
All right. Remember, too, you can get in-depth discussions on Tuesday nights at 8 with Angelo and Ron and a whole cast of characters for Two Guys and Some Change. Let's talk about this then, buying precious metals from y'all. Something has changed here as of June in the state of Alabama that makes it a better choice for people, I mean, for their bottom line.
Oh, it's great. As of June 1st, there is no sales tax on gold or silver bullion or on U.S. coins and U.S. currency. So if you've been thinking about buying gold and silver, but you just hated that whole concept of I'm paying 10% on my investment, and that, I think that's really silly, you don't have to worry about that anymore. So if you come down to the shop, you have a million and one questions, we'll try to cover all million and one as best as we can, and then you can pick out some stuff that you want to buy, whether it's 1 ounce of silver or, you know, you want to put thousands of dollars into it, we can get you taken care of. And again, no sales tax.
All right. And when we come in, what would you suggest? I mean, are we looking at ingots here, gold bars, silver bars, or are we going to look at coins? Where, I mean, is there any difference buying one versus the other?
Well, a little bit of everything. A lot of it depends on your needs and your goals and your expectations. We have a lot of people that are really worried about things, and they want to have something they can barter and trade with. So we're going to talk to them about what their needs are and what they could look at, what they could do, and what's going to be best for them. Everybody's a little bit different. So there's no one set, you know, hey, Sean, come in here and buy 1 ounce gold Eagles. That may work great for you, but for somebody else, they might have something completely different they need to do, whether it's because of the metal or because of their budget.
All right, and man, the questions are piling in. I'm going to grab one of these, and then the other folks can call y'all at the shop or during the show or check y'all out on the web. But this is not a precious metal, but I guess it's a collectible. Do y'all price a book of baseball or football cards? Because we've talked about you doing those appraisals before in the past, and this person's asking about collectibles here.
Yeah, we don't do anything with the sports cards or comic books at this point in time. That market is pretty well collapsed. Last time we had a dealer come in and was pricing some things for a couple of our customers, they were literally pricing things by the pound, Sean. 50 cents a pound on baseball cards. That was pretty sad.
Wow, so that market's gone. The big play here that I was going to have the rare rookie card of so-and-so, and it was going to be enough to put the kids through college?
Yeah, that's pretty much a thing of the past and a thing of legend at this point. Not to say that there aren't some collectible cards out there, but most of that stuff that was produced from the late 60s on was massively overproduced and is really not worth much right now.
All right, remind folks, too, if they're going to come by and see you in person today, how do they find you?
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street, so they can just come on to the shop, pull on in, and say hey. And if they don't feel like getting out in this dreary weather, go onto Facebook and look up and follow Mobile Bay Coins there.
All right, great stuff, Angelo. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for the info.
Great, Sean. Thanks for having me.
All right, Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins. Of course, tonight, Two Guys and Some Change, one of the many, many live local shows in the evenings here at FM Talk 106.5. We talk about it when we talk about podcasting. We're putting up like 40 hours a week of live local content here at FM Talk 106.5, and proud of all our different shows and hosts, and that's one of the many. But tonight, they'll be talking metal. You know, I'm sure a lot of questions about precious metals will come into the mix as we watch this volatile day. How about that on Wall Street? And coming back, a lot more to do in today's show. When we return, we'll talk about Stephen McNair running for District 97, House of Representatives here in Alabama. He is going to talk to us about, number one, why you should vote for him. But number two, I'm going to ask a couple questions here about the stomping grounds there in 97. Lots of news stories, lots of things we do here on the show involve portions of District 97. So we'll talk to Stephen about that coming up in just a second. Grab your text and your calls, too, at 343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:36, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. We will keep our eyes on the market, and once in a while, much to my chagrin, I'll refresh the ticker over there at Market Watch. So a lot of red, a lot of red out there. Will it be something corrects by the end of the week, or is it start of something else? I guess it is to be seen here, that is for sure. All right, bring it back home here. And I mentioned as we headed to the break, they come back and talk to Stephen McNair, who has been on with us in the past. Actually, he's been on in the past for a couple different things. But, of course, the last time you were in here, we were talking about your run for House of Representatives District 97. So thanks for being back.
Sean, my pleasure.
Yeah, so what is... Because you have been with me before. What's a day gig? What have you been doing?
So the day gig is I'm the owner of McNair Historic Preservation. We are a full-service nationwide historic preservation consulting firm that focuses on historic tax credit projects, national register listings, and everything in between.
All right. So my house got to get a little older so I can get a conservation easement on my house, something like that?
We could take care of that.
All right. We'll work into it. I want to talk about, first of all, 97, there have been some changes to the lines here for District 97. Explain that.
That's exactly right. So there was a redistricting, as you see periodically in Montgomery, but this particular district actually was called out into a federal court case. And so it was redrawn by the Democrat caucus from the area into what we see today. So District 97 is a whole new district that includes everything from Chickasaw all the way through Plateau to Bishop State, downtown, midtown, and all the way down Dolphin Island Parkway to the Dog River Bridge.
Geographically, that's some span.
That's exactly right. It's two municipalities, two school systems, and a lot of very diverse issues ranging from the port to the I-10 bridge to Austell, Airbus, Brookley Field. I mean, it really is the...
All those are inside 97?
Every single one of them.
Wow. Wow, wow. If you're looking at a footprint for jobs in our area, that it looks like that foot lands squarely on 97.
That's exactly right. And that's why having strong leadership in this position is so important, because we hear Richard Shelby and we hear other senators and House members say that the Port of Alabama really is the economic engine of our state. And so putting a focus on that is one of the key reasons why I want to run.
Okay. So if you're elected, next month, if you're elected, you just make the case that all of us nod our heads. Yes, we are the economic engine. But if you go north of here, Montgomery, and then hear what they say to the north of there, we're like a pariah. Even though we sit here and I look at the numbers, not only am I a homer, yes, I'm a homer, but we also kick, I mean, the numbers are there. We pump the money in way bigger than what we take in.
That is absolutely true, whether you look at the lodging tax rates or whether you look at the port impact statewide. And that's something that we just can no longer stand to have if Mobile is going to turn the corner and be competitive with Huntsville and be competitive with Birmingham, because they are in the positions of leadership now in the House, Senate, judicial, and executive branch. branches, and we've really been left behind on the coast. And we always tell ourselves we're different and we have different needs, and that's true, but the rest of the legislature just doesn't care to know what our needs are.
Well, there you go. I mean, it doesn't matter if our needs are different or the same. Getting revenue back that our area sends to Montgomery seems to be part of it. I mean, it's never going to be perfectly equitable. There are obviously bigger generators in the state and smaller generators in the state. We have a lot of rural areas, even becoming more rural as people have moved out of those places into the cities. But still, there has to be something said, because whether it be a road or a bridge or a job recruitment plan or something like that, the demands are much higher to the places that produce the money in the first place.
That's absolutely right. And the greatest example of how we're being ignored in Montgomery was when you look at the way that the BP settlement money, the $1 billion settlement, was allocated across the state. Only 20% of that settlement came to the coast. Now, you know you're in trouble when we're losing to Mississippi. Now, Mississippi had a $1 billion settlement. 70% of their allocation went to the coast. And so that is an indication there that the legislature is ignoring our needs. They don't understand the infrastructure needs that we have, the coastal protection needs. And we're going to have to get up there and fight for that money if we're going to get it.
So there are, and this is not specifically about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge, but we'll get to that in a second. But I heard this week ads running in the Birmingham market stations just like this, talk stations in Birmingham and Huntsville, that have ads running, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically, those people down on the coast are taking all your money to build bridges to vacation or to go, you know, basically, yeah, they just want to go drink them a beer and listen to some Jimmy Buffett, and they want to use your tax dollars for. I mean, it is not only inaccurate, it's a demagogue sledgehammer being used against us.
They have been running those ads in the Birmingham media market for months now, and I don't really understand.
People
really
down here don't know, and it's people down here, when I said it the other day, they're like, what are you talking about? This is going on right now.
It absolutely is. And I'll tell you, all the meetings that I'm in Montgomery where I talk about the theft, the stealing of our BP money, when you use that kind of phraseology with a lot of legislators from just 30, 45 minutes north of here, they take offense to it. But that's the thing we're going to have to not care about. We're going to have to start standing up for what is rightfully ours. And quite frankly, the northern part of the state gets quite a bit of money from the TVA authority.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we get our share of that?
I think maybe it's time that we talked about that.
You know, I see this billboard that's there on the Bayway. It says, build the bridge and make Montgomery pay for it. This is your new plan? You're going to build the bridge and we're going to make Montgomery pay for it? How'd they take that in Montgomery?
Not exactly well, but, you know, at the same time, I don't really care about that. You know, I'm standing up for Mobile because we've got to focus on these kind of infrastructure projects. And when I say build the bridge, make Montgomery pay for it, I mean their fair share, of course. It's a lot of federal money in there. But
yes,
at the same time, as more money comes to Mobile from Montgomery for that, the toll goes down, or maybe even is eliminated. And that's something we have to look at, where we as individuals on the coast who use that bridge are going to pay more for it if Montgomery doesn't pay their fair share.
Maybe we just do, Mobile and Baldwin County license plates are fine, but Montgomery, Birmingham, Madison County, or, you know, Jefferson County, Shelby County, Madison County, Limestone, they pay like $6 a trip across there. Let's talk about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. I've had people come in who have told me that 2019 this is happening, and I hope so. I am cynical because I've been given decades of reasons to be cynical, but 2019 looks to be at least some dirt being moved from point A to point B.
There will be dirt moved in 2019, but the reports that I've been seeing is that really the real work won't begin until 2020.
Okay.
Part of that is better than I thought.
Okay.
And part of that is relates to a grant that we failed to receive from the federal government. It was a $250 million grant that we were in line for that we did not secure.
What happened there?
I would have to defer to Congress to explain that. I'm just focusing on Montgomery and how we can get what we need from them.
Yeah, and speaking of, but there had to be sign off from the governor on things here and there has to be, the way I understand it, sign off from local representation.
I would think so, and that's another key thing. I mean, if you look at Amtrak or if you look at the money that we're trying to get for the I-10 bridge.
Yeah, how about the Amtrak project? That was one that specifically, Governor, what was it? Did a couple million dollars?
For the terminal. And,
yeah.
But at the same time, it takes people to stand up for what we need. And when I say people, I mean not only us citizens, but also legislators,
right,
to make it clear what the agenda is for the coast. And right now, there's not a cohesive message.
All right. Let's talk about this, too. So, tell you what, we'll run to the break here, and then we'll come back, because I want to talk about some lottery with you. Speaker Mac McCutcheon has said, in no uncertain words, has been quoted like 10, 15 times, that it will be part of this session, that the lottery will be. Usually they'll do a little like, I like your ideas, but we might talk about that. But, I mean, but now I hear Mac McCutcheon saying lottery will be part of the discussion. Do you have, when we come back, some opinions on that, what it'll look
like? Absolutely. No, I have quite a bit to say about that.
All right. Remind folks, too, as we go to the break, if they want to find out more information about you, where do they go, Stephen?
VoteMcNair.com.
All right. Stephen McNair running for House District 97. Coming right back, we'll grab some calls and some texts, too, at 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll check in with News 5 coming up right now.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, Mixter on the text line, I already talked about that this week. Don't try to bring everybody down, said the odds of winning both the Mega Millions and Powerball in the same week is 1 in 88 quadrillion. Somebody's got to win it, both. Sorry, it's a lotto fever, right? Has taken over. All right, can you continue our conversation with Stephen McNair, running for House District 97? You described, too, the newly drawn 97 as a span. It's like Michael Jordan in wingspan here. I mean, you're talking about from way north of the city of Mobile to on down, you know, down the bay.
Yeah, it's the Chickasaw-Saraland line all the way down the coast to the Dog River Bridge.
It's big, man.
And then it goes inland, kind of in and out, almost to Florida and Sage Avenue.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And in that, it encompasses lots of big businesses. You were talking about some very big players for jobs in our area. It also encompasses where the foot, the west side foot of the I-10 Mobile River Bridge would be.
That's exactly right.
So, I guess, and actually the other side too, where it would sit down. Was it Pinto Island is still in 97? Or
it is, the way okay. That the lines are drawn in
right.
The bay. Yeah.
All right, so you have both sides. So we're talking the bridge. This thing, you said, you believe 2020, this is getting done.
Getting started.
They'll move some dirt around to live up to it in 19.
That'll be the environmental impact study.
Okay, and I'm a kind of a green kind of guy, but we've had 10 of those babies. And then comment period, and then comment on the comment period, and then comment on the comment of the comment period. I mean, let's do it environmentally. Let's use our best sense here to do a good job environmentally. But my gosh, at a certain point, get this thing going. Okay, so that's part of it. And then another issue we started talking about there is the lotto. Okay, and Mac McCutcheon said, this is coming, the discussion's coming, the vote's coming.
We've heard that from Mac McCutcheon, we've heard that from Del Marsh, mm-hmm. And so I do believe that we will see some form of lottery legislation introduced by the Republicans this year during the session.
Think about what you just said. Let's go back in the time machine, you know, 20 years. We have lottery legislation brought up by the Republicans.
That's exactly right. I think that, I mean, it is ridiculous that we are one of the last states that does not have a lottery.
That's right.
I'm personally sick and tired of funding new schools in Florida and the Hope Scholarship in Georgia.
Yeah.
And it's time that we brought that money home. It's time that we did something thoughtful and very careful in terms of the way the money is spent and the way that the lottery is established. But it's time for a lottery.
I wonder how many Alabama tags are right across the line. And today, yesterday, going into this drawing.
But even hearing on the news break, Mobile News are lines in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that tells you right there.
Yeah. I mean, they have sent the reporters to sit there in Florida to talk to people from Alabama buying lottery tickets. Okay. So, but, you know, you talk about lottery, but you have, use the education lottery.
So that's my thing, is that I would only be in favor of this as long as the funding went to education. And when I say education, I mean K-12 and higher ed.
Okay.
But only if we did not deplete the education trust fund. We cannot.
That's what they did in Georgia, right? To some degree, they would say, "Hey, we've got money here, so the funding we had already been doing in the budget, well, we can use that elsewhere, and we'll use the lottery money for that."
That's right. Georgia did a little of that. Florida really was the worst in terms of depleting their education fund in the name of lottery funding. And lottery funding in Alabama should be seen as extra funding. It should be as something that we put on top of the education trust fund, but not something to supplement it. Because we need those extra dollars. We need those extra dollars in the classroom. We need those extra dollars to pay teachers a competitive salary, to recruit teachers, build new schools. And so if we rob Peter to pay Paul, then what are we doing?
All right. So you would keep ETF as is, funding there behind the wall, protected. And then this money would also be an ETF, but it would be used for things that would you say, okay, on this day, the spending y'all are doing, you can't retreat from that, right? You got to do that. You got to live up to whatever you're paying.
Right.
Here, now, here comes the new revenue from the lottery, and that goes to these different projects to be debated, I'm sure.
That's exactly right. And we're going to have to set up new programs to recruit teachers and to pay teachers a competitive wage. And so, I mean, even, you know, going back to Mississippi, you know, they have a program where if you're a public school teacher in Mississippi and agree to work at a public school for up to 5 years or more, they help pay off your student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And something like that, I think, would go a long way in our state. And, you know, I was having dinner on Sunday night with a group of teachers, and they were saying that in terms of their the expectations for continuing education credits and certifications,
mm-hmm.
they have to pay out of pocket for those certifications, and it can be thousands of dollars. We need tax credit programs to pay that off for our public school teachers.
All right. I want to go here. David says, does Mr. McNair feel about entering into a casino compact with the Poarch Creek Indians as long as they agree to pay an annual percentage of their gambling revenues equal to what Nevada charges casinos out there?
I think it's time to start having that conversation. I think that that's the kind of thing where the devil's is always in the details, but if we don't at least start having that conversation to see if it would be advantageous for the state, then I think we're losing out.
You know, you talk about the devil's in the details, but I've run through this before. This is my time machine discussion, and you talk about the education lottery, and obviously a proponent of what you think could be done on the positive with that money. But there are other needs. I mean, coming up in session, if you're elected, you're going to be dealing with not only that, but you're going to deal with the infrastructure. We have big-time infrastructure problems, not just I-10 Mobile River Bridge, roads and bridges that are here now in our state.
That's exactly right. And that's where things like a diesel tax would come in to help pay for the new roads and bridges.
Diesel specifically, so not gas.
You know, a lot of people are pushing a gas tax. Here's my problem with a gas tax is that it actually hurts those who can afford it the least. When you pull up to a gas pump and you see that somebody put in $4,
mm-hmm.
it's going to hurt that person trying to make it to their job, while the trucking industry has more than enough money to afford it.
But can I argue then that trucking industry pays that, and I end up paying that? Doesn't that get built into, you know, if the trucking industry is going to, and hey, listen, you can make the argument that what's doing the bigger damage to the roads as you go from a bicycle to the biggest of the big rigs, obviously it's incremental. It goes up and the heaviest vehicle is doing the most damage. I get that. So I want everybody involved in paying it. But that does come back, even if you just say, you know, the diesel vehicle, let alone if somebody's driving a personal, but they're going to build that cost in. Don't you think? I mean, doesn't it come back to us?
Well, the trucking industry has already said that they are fully in favor of a diesel tax, gas tax, whatever it takes, because right now our roads and bridges are in such a state that we are losing money. We can no longer recruit industry to certain areas of our state because the 18-wheelers can no longer travel safely.
Roads are bad, yeah. I mean, and the bridges that 4 years ago when this came up in session, I had people on that had gone through and scored infrastructure in the state, and I mean, we were like C's and D's then. On bridges, y'all. The bridge thing bothers me for some reason more than the road, probably because you fall a good distance there.
Absolutely. You drive through areas like in the Black Belt, some of those roads haven't been paved since the New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just criminal when you think about it, where you can't put expectations for a community to grow and recruit industry if there's no way for transportation to occur safely. And another thing, you mentioned the weight of the trucks, weigh stations. You know, the state of Alabama needs to have more weigh stations because the damage done to our roads and bridges is because of trucks that are too heavy, which
right.
is, it's illegal.
Right.
And so we need to regulate that more, tax that more, and just put more of the burden on those who can afford it the most.
All right, so there's dealing with that. And then the other thing that's going to pop up, like it does every time, is this prison situation, and will we be in federal receivership and have to open the doors of our prisons and pay money to the feds at the same time?
That's exactly right. I mean, not only prisons, but mental health. You really can't separate the two. And as
right.
we...
Absolutely. You know, well said.
As we deplete our mental health funding, our prison population increases. I was having a conversation with the Sheriff Cochran of, mm-hmm. of Mobile recently, and he was saying that the jail now hands out more psychiatric drugs than the mental health institute. And so that is a major problem right there. And so many people think we'll just build more prisons. No, that's not exactly what we need to do. We need to build more mental health facilities, and then we'll have less prisons.
You know, we did have not that we had a ton of them, but we had mental health facilities that in former Governor Bentley's first term were shut down. I mean, like, we could right up the road for Searcy, but you can look at many others in the state, and those people ended up becoming the issue for sheriffs that run jails across the state.
That's exactly right. I mean, that is a major crisis. I don't think we're in jeopardy of of the feds coming in.
And you don't think the receivership is going to happen? You don't think that?
Oh, I just meant for 2019. Okay. I think that if we don't correct this ship, then we're absolutely going to be in the same boat that California was in, which actually cost the state of California exponentially more than if they would have corrected it internally.
Right. Y'all, if y'all don't, you need to study that case, y'all, because they had to turn people out of jail, not on their, the feds told them they had to, and then they had to spend the money anyway.
Right.
So there you go. All right. Stephen, remind folks more information about your campaign. Any questions, interaction? Where do they go?
So they're going to want to go to votemcnair.com, but also our Facebook page. Look up McNair for House 97. Get in touch with us if you want to volunteer or learn more about the campaign.
All right. Very good. Appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Stephen McNair joining us here on Midday Mobile. Also on the traffic front, getting this here, 65 northbound. There you go. Somebody driving a big rig heard us. 18-wheeler jackknife there at the Saraland exit. Northbound 65 shut down as of right now. We'll try to get the latest from the traffic department. I don't know how long this has been going on, how big of a line we have backed up, but we'll get you that info when we come back. Once again, 65 northbound at the Saraland exit. And I'm guessing, because I don't have the detail, because there are two Saraland exits. Is that 158? I think 158, but we'll double check that if it's 158 or Sarah or Celeste Road. We'll be right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.